you certainly can point to some successes. You can point to successes in the United States, even going back in time as far back as the origination of the Small Business Investment Company program in the 1950s. And you certainly can point to successes outside the United States in terms of efforts like the YOSMA program in Israel and many of the efforts which are still underway in places like Singapore and China. But I think it's fair to say that for every success, there have probably been dozens of failures, which is very unfortunate.
What are some failures? Just as an example to refresh our listeners' memories.
There's any number of things you could point to. Certainly, in many of the state efforts, which were sort of done with the spirit of boosting entrepreneurship, ended up either in situations where there was cronyism, as in the case of Nebraska, where it ended up that the chairman of the initiative basically ended up getting a whole series of loans from the fund, to cases where it was just simply an ill-considered kind of effort. So just throwing out one example from overseas, where the French government, trying to respond to the deindustrialization of the Brittany area, caught on to this notion of entrepreneurship and promoting entrepreneurship, but they unfortunately decided that to promote entrepreneurship, all they needed to do is encourage broadband diffusion. And while certainly broadband is something that's helpful and has all sorts of potential benefits from it, to think that just putting in a broadband network, you're going to get a lot of entrepreneurship automatically was an illusion, and the whole effort turned out to be quite a disappointment.
You mentioned cronyism. Is that part of the problem? Politics winds up playing a role in becoming a speed bump rather than a facilitator?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, it certainly seems that one of the things that you see, and again, this is not just a product of the American system, but really around the world, tends to be that when you get the situation of government agencies directly handing out large sums of money to individual companies, that it just opens the door for all sorts of what you might describe kindly as influence activities in terms of either outright lobbying, earmarks, or various kinds of subtle pressure being brought to bear in a way that leads to, in many cases, not only not the best companies getting funded in the first place, but then becoming extremely difficult to terminate companies which are underperforming.
What was done differently that really helped the innovation come alive versus just an abject failure?
Well, I think there are really three things that stand out that really distinguish the efforts that have been successful. And these are things you see really around the globe. First of all, you see that it's not just about handing out money to companies or to venture firms, that there's a real attention to the environment and making sure that the whole ecosystem is entrepreneur friendly, whether that's tax policy, regulatory stuff, whether it's dealing with sort of providing transfer and making that work well. It's just a whole set of things in terms of setting the table that are very important. Secondly, these programs that have been successful have had a big emphasis on matching funds. Rather than just simply having, the government official go and pick winners. And it's not so much that, it's that people aren't smart or dedicated in government, but it's a very hard process to figure out which new technology, which new company, which opportunity is going to be the best one. And the programs that seem to work best have been the ones that try to say, let's get some input from the market in terms of getting some sort of signal of what succeeds and doesn't. And then thirdly and finally, the programs that have succeeded have really sweated the small stuff, have really thought through how they designed it and put the program together in a way that wasn't self-defeating. So often in these efforts, rules that seem innocuous end up having profound impacts. So those are really the three things I would highlight.
How can you tell that something isn't just a late bloomer or a slow starter, that it will be successful versus being a failure? How do you measure that?
It's a great question. And in fact, it's fair to say that this is the big question, because in a lot of cases, even programs that were hit, which ultimately turned out to be very successful, and I think the efforts in terms of the Small Business Investment Company program in the 50s and 60s would be a great example. Many people were claiming that this thing was an outright failure after 2 or 3 years. Well, many of the benefits weren't really realized till 5, 10, even 15 years afterwards. This is fundamentally a long-run game. And as we know, in many cases, the political cycle tends to be one which operates in a relatively short time frame. And certainly one of the real mistakes that can be made is to essentially give up too early and just start throwing the towel. But I think what is important is to have some real evaluation. And the challenge is to make an evaluation that includes the hard stuff in terms of saying what kind of return is being generated from it, but also more of the soft measures in terms of saying how have we done in terms of building an ecosystem, you know, and really creating an environment that's friendly and conducive to entrepreneurship. To just simply look at the financial return without looking at this other stuff is clearly a mistake as well.
Getting back to the premise of the book itself, I wonder, there may be those out there who argue that it's not really government's role to spur entrepreneurship and motivation and innovation and to push that forward, that that's sort of outside the box and we're trying to squish a square peg into a round hole. How do you respond to a criticism like that, that maybe this isn't really government shtick?
Well, I guess you'd really want to turn to three arguments. First of all, it's clear that if we look at economic growth, innovation plays a really important role in it. And I think, you know, you can certainly grow some by just having more of the same, you know, have people work till 67 instead of retiring at 62 or something along those lines. But ultimately, if you're going to grow, you need innovation. Secondly, it's clear that the role of entrepreneurs and venture capitalists in terms of contributing to innovation is really strong. And you can see that, for instance, in terms of the amount of innovations being generated, which seem to be disproportionately from smaller and innovative firms. Finally, it seems that when you look at the experience in almost every nation that's become emerged as an entrepreneurial culture, you see that government did play an important role jumpstarting it. And I think the main reason is that this is one of these activities that has, you might describe as, what economists would describe as externalities. In other words, it's a lot easier being the 50th entrepreneur doing clean tech in Boston than it was being the first one. That somehow the pioneering entrepreneurs pave the path for those who come after them. And that in many senses, we say in these kind of situations where there are externalities, it's precisely where government ought to spring into action. So in other words, if you think about a negative externality like pollution, you know, any individual company is going to say, well, you know, why not pollute? It doesn't really affect me that much. But we've sort of come to realize that, you know, the role of government is to sort of create some sort of regulations so that it sort of deals with this fact that, you know, what you can do ends up affecting a lot of other people. And it's precisely in these cases where there is stuff that's, you know, behavior that has broader social implications that normally economists would argue that's precisely where governments ought to step in. And it certainly seems that entrepreneurship is precisely one of those examples.
The way you describe it, it makes perfect sense, but it does sound like it would be kind of hard to do. And when you talk about taking politics out of it, particularly in the temperature that we're dealing with right now, that sounds almost impossible. Putting it into today's historical context, are we swimming upstream at this point?
Well, I think that you're right in the sense that it is harder now to probably do stuff in a technocratic kind of way than it was, you know, than it's been for a long time. At the same time, I think you can point out that the need for this stuff has probably never been greater in the sense that if we just think about the situation we're facing in the United States, you know, we have all these pressures in terms of government deficits stretching out as far as the eye can see, and certainly a real concern about how we're going to generate the kind of employment that we need to have going forward. And in many senses, given this sort of demonstrated track record of entrepreneurship and venture capital in terms of creating jobs and economic growth, you know, as hard as it is and as challenging it is for the government to play a stimulating role, it seems that it's absolutely essential as well.